Hello, humans. Welcome back to the Meditative Aiden podcast, where we talk about mindfulness and how it can help you work through the challenges and experiences of life. My name is Aiden, and today's episode is episode number 9, Non-Judgment, Letting Go of the Gavel. So this is the first part in a series on the virtues of mindfulness and the different characteristics of mindfulness. And in today, we're specifically talking about judgment, you know, where judgment comes from, why it's caused. We're going to talk about an analogy that the Buddha offered to help us work through the experience of judgment. Then we're going to talk about, you know, some examples of how to break free from the cycle of judgment. I think that you guys will enjoy today's episode. So without further ado, let's get to it. All right, so non-judgment. With non-judgment, it is one of the most fundamental attributes of mindfulness. You can't talk about mindfulness and neglect to talk about non-judgment. I mean, you can't talk about either of them without one referring to the other or being a part of that conversation. The reason is primarily because mindfulness is characterized by an attitude of non-judgment. But the thing is, I know personally that I have a really difficult time, you know, practicing non-judgment. And this happens because, you know, I'll sit down in just a regular meditation and I'll be planning on sitting down for 30 minutes. And as soon as I sit down, I'll have these distractions pop up. And when they pop up, I just start going, "Ugh, why is this happening right now? Why can't I ever clear my mind? Why am I so bad at everything that I do?" Now, that simple sentence that I say to myself, those little statements are loaded with information about how I'm handling these distractions and also how I feel about myself. And I usually find that when these occur, it's because I have some kind of belief or expectation or desire. You know, I want things to be a certain way, and that desire is violated. That expectation is violated. The thing is that I'm not unique in feeling this way. Everybody is this way. We all react in a similar way when our expectations are violated. The issue with this is it leads down this trail of self-defeating negativity. I mean, when you constantly are telling yourself that you're not good enough, or, you know, just those different negative statements, you're pushing the needle in deeper, so to speak. The irony in this, though, is that judgment is a normal human characteristic. I mean, you can't have a human on this planet that isn't characterized by some form of judgment. And this actually goes for all species on this planet as well, because we have all evolved, every single organism on this planet, for survival. And part of that survival mechanism includes judging different things that you perceive to determine whether or not they will threaten your life or bring you some kind of opportunity for growth. I mean, if you think about our primitive ancestors, they had to have this survival mechanism in order to understand how to survive in their environment. We could not have propagated as a human race without the ability to perceive danger in our environment. I mean, there's a reason that when our primitive ancestors were out hunting for food or foraging, if they weren't able to see the lion in the bush that was hiding and just waiting to kill them, those ancestors would die. And the ones that were able to perceive that threat were the ones that were able to make it home safely to continue the human race. But in the modern era, this is where the irony lies, because in the modern era, we still have that same survival instinct, but it's kind of hijacked by a high stimulus, progressive environment. And especially in an environment like the Western world, where we're constantly driven for progress, for striving upwards, there's so much to judge. There's so much for us to perceive and to make judgments off of. I mean, when you think about the number of times that you have to judge something on your phone, whether that's even like liking a song or if that's liking certain food, on top of the numerous judgments we have to make in our work lives, which are ever so more demanding. I mean, we are constantly being hijacked by this bombardment of stimuli that constantly activates the survival system. And what this does is it leads us to make these instantaneous judgments about situations or, you know, different experiences that we have. So when you sit down and, you know, you try to meditate, like I was mentioning in my example before, it's so natural to beat ourselves up, to hold the gavel of judgment, so to speak, to rain our righteous judgments on ourselves. So the Buddha taught a lesson. He taught an analogy that I think is really relevant here, and it's the analogy of the two darts. And in this analogy, you can imagine metaphorically yourself standing there and darts being thrown at you. The first dart is the dart that life throws at you, whether that's loss or grief or losing a job or getting in a car wreck or, you know, having to go to the ER, things like that. It's just the unforeseen circumstances in life or situations that occur that you can't really plan for. The second dart is the one that we throw at ourselves. And the difference between the two is usually that this first dart hits, and then we interpret that a certain way and throw another dart at ourselves. So like when I'm sitting in meditation and I immediately notice that I'm distracted, we could say that's the first dart, that I'm having this, you know, quality of mind that's just not still. And when I take that situation, when I take that distraction and then say, I'm not good enough, it's taking that second dart and throwing it right at me. As you might be able to guess, what this does is just make a bad situation worse. It makes the situation that we're in more difficult. Now, the primary thing to recognize in this analogy is that we can't control the first dart. That first dart is something that's well beyond our control. Unless you can spontaneously make earthquakes happen or spontaneously make people die, you know, with a snap of a finger, or spontaneously make yourself lose your job, we just don't have control over that. We do have control, though, over how we consciously respond to that event. And typically, what I've noticed in myself and in so many others is that when that first dart hits, our perception of that dart and what we believe it means leads us to throw that second dart at ourselves, to throw that dart of judgment, saying, you know, you judge the first dart and the meaning it has in your life, and then you cast that judgment into some kind of negative connotation. This is where mindfulness steps in, though, to help us understand how we can break free from the cycle of judgment and the negativity that it creates in our lives. Now, first and foremost, this isn't to say that we're breaking free from all judgments whatsoever, because we still need to make judgments necessary to keep us alive. You know, this mindfulness isn't about removing your ability to judge entirely so that you know whether or not to step in front of that bus or to move away. But it's about understanding how to let go of our perceptions and to let go of the clinging to that first dart and the experience that we have with it. And to this effect, I really appreciate a quote from Joseph Goldstein, a really prominent practitioner and teacher of mindfulness, who says, "The question to ask, is this nourishing or depleting for me to be judging in this moment?" And that question right there is the first step to mindfulness, understanding what the effect of this is, recognizing the presence of this judgment and understanding how it affects you. Furthermore, what this does, you know, questioning the judgment and where its place is in our psyche helps us understand how to utilize that judgment as a source of information, how to use that judgment to understand exactly where this judgment is coming from, and to immediately put a foot in the doorway of that negative thought to prevent us from going down that path. So what we do is we can take that judgment and find the place where we're hurting, where that judgment was created, and heal that part of us that needs that healing. Something that I know I think pretty often is that when I'm fighting my biology, when I'm fighting this natural animal instinct inside of me, it seems kind of futile because, you know, you're trying to fight something that's evolutionarily adapted to be flexible to attack, right? And this usually is pretty discouraging for me. This mindset, it's really unhealthy, this belief that I am a certain way and that I can't change. But this is where the research of Dr. Carol Dweck comes in play. Dr. Dweck has done a large amount of research on the sources of human motivation for success. And in her book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, I believe that's its name, she shows the number of studies that they've conducted to find the traits that allow people to be successful. And what they found is that the people that are most successful in our communities are the people that are able to adapt to that first dart, so that when that first dart hits, instead of saying that they can't change that or ruminating about it, they take a look at that dart and say, "Ow, that hurts, but I got to keep moving forward. And this is a theme that just goes throughout her entire book and her entire research, is that the mindset that you bring into a situation determines whether or not that situation can be handled. And so many of the people, like I said, that are successful in our communities are capable of adopting this mindset of non-judgment without having that judgment hold them back. What this means for you is that you have the conscious ability. I mean, your consciousness reigns supreme over your biology. And no matter what your genes say, no matter what kind of DNA you have encoded, your consciousness, your mindset, has the ability to influence the outcome more than your genes do. And mindfulness is the tool that helps us understand how to utilize our consciousness in such a way that we have power over those events. And that's what one of the unique characteristics of the human race is, that unlike other species, we're able to think about thinking. We're able to think about our existence as far as we know. I mean, who knows? Dolphins and elephants apparently can think. But as you learn to cultivate a sense of awareness of the present moment and kind of where your mind is at any given time, you have the ability to understand the situations at hand and how they're affecting you and whether or not you're going to let them affect you. So fundamentally, what this means, what non-judgment means, is that when experiences occur, when distractions arise, when sensations arise, when that first dart is thrown, you're not exercising judgment about that thought, that distraction, or that dart. Rather, what you're doing is you're acknowledging the presence of that sensation or whatever it is, but you're allowing it to just be, you're allowing it to just exist instead of attaching any emotional weight. All of this occurs with just mindful investigation of the situation and the judgment that occurs. And the thing is that these judgments will continue to occur. These experiences will continue to happen. Mindfulness doesn't extinguish it. It doesn't make it disappear from existence. But as Jay Michelson says on the 10% Happier blog, I love this quote. He says, "Eventually, yes, the mind does get quieter. Not because thoughts never arise, but because they're not a problem. They blip in. They blep out. In-breath, out-breath. That can be very pleasant. There's a lot of calm, happiness, bliss, and ease. The mind is healthy and happy. You feel refreshed afterward. It's great." And what he's saying here that I love is that, yes, that animal part of our brain exists, that reptilian part of our brain that keeps us constantly judging things and reacting to experiences. But through the practice of mindfulness, you can cultivate an understanding of how to work through these experiences and live with them day to day. You can work through the challenges and the judgments as they arise. And that's why non-judgment is so important, because when you're sitting in meditation or when you're walking through day-to-day life and these judgments come up, you need to know how to handle them and how to prevent them from having a negative effect on your life. This is all to say that as you develop a sense of non-judgmental awareness, these problems don't disappear. They simply stop being a problem for you. It's kind of like when you see a cloud in the sky and you look up. I mean, the cloud's there, but it's not a problem unless you make it one, right? We're just so used to making our experiences problems and taking things in ways that we can turn them into some kind of negative event. So I was going to use a personal example from earlier this week, but I actually want to use the example of my time recording this podcast, because I've had a really difficult time getting words out for some reason today. And throughout this whole podcast, I've just constantly, as I've been recording, I've been thinking, you know, I am having such a hard time. Why can't I get words out? Because in previous podcasts, sometimes I felt like, you know, words were able to just flow smoothly. But practicing this mindful awareness helped me understand, you know, first, okay, I recognize that I'm feeling frustrated with whatever's going on with my language right now, and that's okay. There's no reason to be frustrated. I mean, sure, life is throwing this first dart at me that's kind of making it difficult to talk for whatever reason. I don't know what I did to you, life, but knock it off. But the way that I'm choosing to respond to this is helping me find greater peace and clarity in the podcast and less fear of recording. So I want to encourage you to take some time to think about these experiences that you've had with judging yourself and judging experiences. You know, whether that's at work, at home, when you're on vacation. And I want you to think about how you interacted with that experience. I mean, were you judgmental? Were you beating yourself up? What was going on in your mind at the time? And as you go through and learn the practice of mindfulness, it'll teach you that first recognize when that judgment is occurring. You know, sometimes we don't recognize because it just happens so quickly. But then once you've gained a recognition of it, when you've seen that judgment occurring, using mindfulness, you're able to just learn to let go of that and let it be, to kind of drift off like a cloud. And it's through this practice that you can learn to let go of your judgments and find greater peace, fulfillment, and love and curiosity and all those positive, mushy-gushy emotions that you can possibly think of. I really have found that as I've studied non-judgment and as I've incorporated it into my mindfulness practices, it's helped me understand those situations when they're occurring. You know, when I see these judgments rising, I'm able now to see them more quickly and respond to them instead of thoughtlessly reacting to them. So, you know, when I'm at work or something, and, you know, I work in a pharmacy, and, you know, you make mistakes when you push pills all day. And occasionally I'll fill the wrong med. That just happens. But when those situations occur and I immediately start judging myself, I've learned to let go of that. And I really hope that you can learn that too, to let go of that judgment and respond to the situations as they occur, rather than taking that second dart, throwing it at yourself, and pushing it in deeper. All right, I really hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please make sure to let me know by commenting below or subscribing. Don't forget that you can also follow Meditative Aiden on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. You can also check out the full blog article on non-judgment at meditativeaiden.com. And other than that, guys, I hope you have a great day. I'll see you next time.